Welcome to Southside Student Ministries Podcast, where we are all about developing students into lifelong followers of Jesus. We trust that the message that you are about to listen to will help you know God better and help you live a transformed life. If you have any questions about what you heard, please visit us online at www.southsidestudentmin.com. Thank you for listening.
But as we jump into today's message, we're starting a brand new series called Lost and Found. And I'm just curious, this is more like I want to laugh, not at you, but with you, but also at you at the same time. Has anyone gotten so lost before that you thought you were like going to die?
No.
Yeah? Tell me, I want to hear some stories. Go for it, Morgan.
Okay, so this one time me and my family went to Chicago, right? And we wanted to go to Rainforest Cafe for dinner. And
oh, nice.
And Siri still sucks. We had a bad day. And we went from our hotel, and we were trying to go to Rainforest Cafe, and we put it in, and it took us to some, like, abandoned warehouse, like, down some back alleyway, and was like, you arrived at your destination, and, like...
So what did you guys do?
I don't know. We ended up at Rainforest Cafe somehow, but, like,
you're here, you didn't die.
I thought we were going to get jumped, you know?
That's awesome. Josh, give it to me.
So it was when our dad worked in New Jersey. So
Joy-Z. It's New Joy-Z.
New Joy-Z. So we went over there to visit him. And so when we were driving to his hotel, it was at night, and our GPS was going crazy. And at one point when we were on a bridge, the GPS told us to turn right and go right off the bridge into the water.
Uh-huh.
And we were just like,
uh-oh.
So then we...
Despicable Me Too, baby.
It was so weird.
Was that
and then,
three?
So we just parked in the parking lot and then told Dad where he was and he came and found us.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, I messed up the... Place.
Anybody else got some, like, you lost your mom, like, in the mall type stuff? Yeah, yeah. Give it to me, Birch.
Okay, so I had shot my first deer and we were tracking it. And we were going into some reeds, like, in a swamp area.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And... I was walking, trying to follow the blood trail, and I look back, and Dad's nowhere to be found.
How old were you?
11.
So, obviously you found him, because you're not dead.
Yeah.
So did you, like, just start crying and, like, wailing and gnashing your teeth and, like, tore your clothes, like, Old Testament style, or, like, what?
I just started waving. Dad!
Okay. Next time you guys go camping, like, pretend to get lost, and just, like, it's like, rip your shirt. Oh, Barb has a story.
So just recently, actually, I am very good with directions. I learned.
Is that sarcasm or is that like legit?
I am.
Okay, because I'm terrible.
My dad taught me how to read a map. I would be the navigator, but I recently flew into Chicago and had to drive from Chicago home. Every entrance that I needed to take to get to the highway was closed, and so my GPS
That's
kept
terrifying.
Telling me to go to this entrance, and it was closed because of all the construction. So here I am in Chicago, trying to get to South Bend, and every entrance...
And you're lost in the ghetto.
I was lost in Chicago at 1:30 in the morning, which is not where it was.
Oh, it's like...
So it was very crazy. I ended up going the opposite direction. I felt like I was almost in Wisconsin to just try to find some place that I could get on to come home.
That's
it was crazy.
Terrible.
Yeah, I was going the wrong way.
So just so you guys know, I'm the worst with GPS, like, ever. Like, you can ask Nicole, like, in South Bend, I get lost, okay? I flat out get lost in South Bend. It's happened. I'm actually directionally challenged. So when I'm sitting somewhere, I have to, like, figure out, okay, what time is it and where's the sun? Because if I can do some math, I can figure it out. But I don't know which way is north, south, east, and west. Like, it's terrible. Like I know Miami's north and south, so everything on the south side is based off of that in Ironwood. So, but I'm terrible. But here's the deal. I have never gotten actually lost. Listen up. I've never really gotten lost in a store. I'm sure I did, but I don't remember ever being lost. But I remember one time, I'm going to throw my baby brother under the bus. So my baby brother, Chris, you guys all know Chris, right? Christopher, mostly, the older guys. Yeah. You guys know who he is. So
maybe.
I'm just going to make this statement. You babies of the families are royal freaking spot. Like you guys are like spoiled, rotten, spoiled, freaking rotten. Okay. And here's how I know you guys get everything that my mom and was like, you got to be 13 to get. And then like Chris is 9 and he gets this, or it's like, no, Mark, you got to wait until this to get this. And then it's like, he's 7 years. What? Like, no, like, what the heck? So either way, my brother was notorious for getting lost. Okay. So one time him and my mom went to the mall. There was a kiosk of like, it was like Pokemon cards and sport cards and sport memorabilia and all that. It's been gone for years. It was before they remodeled. So they actually, it's the same place that is now across from the Kitty Play place, the sport memorabilia place right there. It was next to like the vape shop, which isn't a vape shop anymore. You know what I'm talking about? That little like sport memorabilia shop. That used to be a little kiosk in the mall. So, and that was Chris's favorite spot to go. So it was like 10 minutes before closing. My mom had to go run it to make a return at JCPenney's real quick and run back. And so she, and he's like, oh, mom, can I stay here? He was like 10 at the time. And she was like, sure. Yeah, okay, why not? They've done it before. Like, yeah, just stay here. I'll come get you. Well, my brother got the bright idea of, well, I'm bored, so I'm going to go find mom because I know she's in JCPenney. So he goes into JCPenney, and at the same time, she walks out of Penny's, and they don't see each other, and then the mall locks down. Like, it shuts. So JCPenney's door closes, all the storefronts shut down, and my mom is stuck in the middle of the mall and can't find, like, Chris at all. And if you know my brother, a lot of you guys don't know him super well, Nicole knows, the dude is, like, he's just, like, almost too chill sometimes where he's just like, I'm lost, whatever. I'll just keep walking until I find something. Like, that's just how he is. So randomly, like, so my mom is, like, literally apparently, like, sprinting all over the mall, calling the cops. The cops are, like, looking all over the mall. And apparently Chris was just, like, chilling in JCPenney's, just, like, sitting there hanging out. And so a security guy had to find him. They connected my mom or whatever. And because of that, my brother became the proud youngest person to own a cell phone in our family at the age of 11. Like, that's just what happened because mom didn't want to lose. And there's a lot of great technology now to help us, like, when we're lost, get found. Like, there's watches and stuff like that. But here's the deal. We all have stories of getting lost, right? Some of them are super extreme, like my brothers and my mom. Some of them are not so bad, where it's kind of like, you know, like we were in Green Bay one time, and we weren't sure exactly where we were, so we had to figure out what to do. We all have these stories of lost and found, but there is one person that we all know who probably has the worst deal ever when it comes to being lost or whatnot. Hey, Fairchild, can you grab that for me? All right, so, but we all know one person in particular who actually has it worse than all of us when it comes to becoming lost. And not just a person, this person has more of a personality and more like a fish. You know what I'm talking about? Dory! Like, Dory has the worst thing in the... Like, she has, like, the worst problem in the world when it comes to getting lost. And why? She has short-term memory loss. That's right. She has short-term memory loss. But see, here's the deal. Dory is, like she has short-term memory loss. She doesn't know what happened. She got lost from her own mother and all this kind of various stuff. If you don't... Actually, does anyone not know who Dory is? I'm just curious. Anyone who not know? Not know who Dory is? Well, you guys know Dory. She was in Finding Nemo, and then, you know, Ellen DeGeneres, like, was talking crap about Disney, how everyone's making a 2, but she doesn't get a 2 for Dory. So they made Finding Dory 2, and it was all about what? What was Dory trying to do?
Getting back home.
Trying to get back home. So if you've... Now I'm just actually super curious. Has anyone not seen Finding Dory? Like, you've not seen it? My first question is, why not? Second question is, I'm going to spoiler alert the crap out of you, okay? So we are going to have story time with Dory today. You guys ready for this? We're going to have story time with Dory, and I... Is it going to go? Is it going to go? Shh. Listen, listen.
Hey, my U.S. sister has one of those. Guys, I can hear
ocean. Listen. Nicole, can you click it for me? Go to the second slide of my sermons. My clicker's not reading it. It is story time with Dory. You guys ready? By the way, this is the theme song to Finding Nemo orchestrated. Right? Here's the story of Dory. You guys ready? Is the clicker working now? Nicole, can you click for me? Go to the first slide. The day started off just like any normal day for baby Dory. She was a happy-go-lucky fish, but she had a bit of a problem. You see, she has short-term memory problems. Go to the next slide, Nicole. You see, first, she was playing hide-and-go-seek with her parents one day. Can you turn the computer down just a little bit? Turn the computer down. So you see, she was playing hide-and-go-seek with her parents, and what happened? She forgot she was playing hide-and-go-seek. And see, she had this crazy thought of, oh no, what would happen if I forget who you are, Mom and Dad? What would happen if I get lost? And her parents had an answer for her. What was that answer, guys?
Seashell.
Next slide, Nicole. Oh, they would place purple seashells so that way she could always find her way back home. And if she ever got lost, she can find her way back home. But sadly, one day, the worst thing happened. Next slide, Nicole. Oh, she got dory got sucked through a pipe out into the ocean and became lost. But what became the problem? She forgot what happened. She forgot how to find her way back home. She didn't know what to do, so she just kept swimming and swimming and swimming. And then one day, she stumbles upon her friends, Marlin and Nemo. And she creates a family. But then, all of a sudden, it clicks. Remember, she goes, oh my goodness, I know who my parents are. I have to go find them. So with the help of Hank the Septopus, not the octopus, Hank the Septopus, and Marlin and Nemo, she set off on her journey across the ocean to go find her family. She searched high and low across an entire aquarium, only to eventually suffer the same fate as before. She got sucked through the pipes. But this turned out to be a beautiful thing. Next slide, Nicole. You see, when she was swimming around, she found purple shells. And it clicked, and she starts following the purple shells. And she followed them until she stumbled upon the home that her parents had. And they were waiting for Dory to come home. Dory found out that every single day since she's been lost, her parents laid out more and more and more purple shells to help her find her way and show her the way home. Dory and her family, plus Marlin and Nemo, lived happily ever after. The end. Next slide, Nicole. Next slide, Nicole. You can turn it back up now if you want. That's a tearjerker, isn't it? That's a tearjerker. But see, here's the deal, okay? The story of Dory is one that we all love and we enjoy, and it's fun and it's cute and it's exciting. But here's the deal, okay? There's actually a really cool story underlining the story of finding Dory. I don't know if you guys knew this or not. It's a story of friendship. It's a story of family. It's a story of hope. And most importantly, it's a story of finding home. Transitioning here, you know, there's so many people in our world today, in our homes, in our schools, our towns, our community, who honestly feel lost like Dory. They feel lost. They don't know the way home. In fact, they don't even know what home is. And I don't think it's wrong that a lot of people realize that they are lost and they need to be found. And you know what? Here's the deal. Maybe you feel lost tonight, okay? Maybe you, like Dory, maybe you feel lost. Maybe you feel lost in the crowd, like you're just another person wandering through the world. Maybe you're kind of lost in who you're, like your identity, who you even are. You're not even sure who you are and what you're supposed to do and what you're meant to be. We all have this identity crisis in junior high where we're trying to figure it out, but it never changes. Like even through college, you're asking the questions of who am I? What am I supposed to do? You know, maybe you feel lost in your faith with following Jesus. Maybe you feel tired, you feel worn out, you feel weak, you don't want to go on anymore. You feel lost. Or maybe you feel lost because you're not even really sure what life's all about and you're kind of just floating through life hoping one day it will knock you in the head and you'll know what on earth is actually going down. A lot of us in this room, and specifically people all over the world, feel lost every single day and they're trying to find their way back home. But here's the problem, okay? A lot of people don't know where home even is. And my question is, do you even know where home for you is? This idea of being lost, okay, is not a modern phenomena. All right, I'm trying to get out of my narrator voice. It's kind of weird and kind of hard. But this is not a modern phenomena, okay? The idea of being lost and being kind of just floating through life and not sure where you fit in and whatnot, that didn't just happen in the last, you know, 20, 30, 50, 60 years. In fact, this has been a problem since the beginning of time, the beginning of creation. And we'll talk about that, but it was an extremely big time, an extremely crucial time with this idea of being lost and not sure what you're supposed to be in society, specifically during the time of Jesus. In fact, the culture that Jesus stepped into, I don't know if you knew this or not, the culture that Jesus stepped into when God in the flesh stepped onto earth, the world had the same problem that we do with feeling lost and needing to be found. But here's the deal, okay? It was slightly different. All right, it was slightly different. In today's culture, it's kind of the idea of we're lost, but we go through life. But you know what? Everyone is still just going through life, and it's okay. It doesn't necessarily matter. The culture that Jesus stepped into, this is kind of crazy, all right? The culture that Jesus stepped into was something that was called, I'll make sure I get it right. It was a honor and shame culture. Got it? The culture that Jesus stepped into was an honor and shame culture. And here's what it means. Jewish people strive to live honorable lives no matter the cost, okay? Everything they fought to do, everything they fought to be, everything they fought to remain, they wanted to be honorable. Okay? They wanted to be respected. They didn't want to be an outcast of society. And if you lost your honor, okay, if you lost the honor that you had, you literally became an outcast of society. You were kicked out. Okay? And it wasn't just as simple as the fact that, like, it didn't look good for you, but it completely changed your life. In Jewish culture, if you got kicked out of society, if you became an outcast, you literally were a waste of space. You were a waste of air. And in fact, people saw you as a dead man walking. You had no existence in society. You had no part to contribute. You literally were just a waste of space. And a lot of people who were outcasts, they were actually even shipped to random parts in the culture. It's almost like, you know, like if you're like became a shameful person, you did something that caused shame in your life. And in the old times, it was adultery, it was sleeping around, it was doing anything that went against God's honor code, like breaking the Ten Commandments or something like that. If you were actually like had some sort of disease or sickness, that's kind of mean when you think about it. If you had cancer or a disease that you couldn't control, you still were kicked out of society because you now were unclean. We had want nothing to do with you at all. There's so many different things that would make you unpure for the rest of your life, and you became an outcast in that society. And once you became an outcast in society, you gained a title, and it was not a good title. This title was called sinner. If you became an outcast in society in Jewish culture, you received the title of sinner. How many of you guys ever read the Scarlet Letter before in school? Have you guys had to read it? We had to in high school. Junior year?
Yeah.
Well, that's the same when we did?
My sister
read it last year. Right, so your sister read it last year. You might have to take American Lit. Is it in American?
Yeah.
If you take American Lit, you might read it. But this one person, the Scarlet Letter, tall, who's about, she's committed adultery, had a child. She had to wear a massive red A on her shirt 24/7 to show that she was an adulteress. And everyone knew it, and she became an outcast. In the same way that became her identity, once you became an outcast in society, you were now known as a sinner. And these people, once they became a sinner, they became lost from the rest of society because the home that they once had was gone. The family they once were a part of is now gone. The friends that used to back them up have shipped them away. They don't even know what home is anymore. You know, in today's culture, you don't have to feel shame to not know where home is. You don't have to be casted out of society, out of your school, to not know exactly where you fit in society. But in the society that Jesus stepped into, it wasn't just a state of mind. It was actually a physical residence of not having a home. And then once these people lost a home, the Jewish people who were honorable and respectable, mainly the religious leaders, made sure it stayed that way. So think of this cruel system. Once you became an outsider, the religious people and the honorable and the respectable people made sure that didn't change. They saw your job, Ben, you're an outcast. I'm going to make sure you're an outcast the rest of your life. That kind of sucks. But that's the culture that Jesus stepped into. So tonight, we're going to read the specific text that Jesus kind of talks about, this lost and found idea. And when we actually see Jesus stepping into a very awkward situation, one that doesn't make sense in that culture, but makes a whole lot of sense when you realize who Jesus actually is. So grab your Bibles and go to Luke 15, all right? Grab your Bibles, go to Luke 15. If you need one, Nicole or Barb, can you guys grab them? I think Aaron's dealing with something. Luke 15 is where we're at. Luke 15. We don't have a lot of time, so we're going to have to burn through this pretty quick. Pretty quick. I feel weird with this whiteboard behind me. I feel like I can't move. What?
15:1.
One. We're going to read the whole chapter. Luke 15:1. Luke 15:1 is where we're going to be at, okay? Luke 15:1. So, all right, here you go. This is the scenario. So if you guys are still flipping there, you can listen to me for a second. But Luke 15, anyone need it? Anyone still need it? New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So Luke 15. I'll let you guys get there. Don't you worry. All right, so here's the first two verses. Read it with me. I'm going to read it out loud. It says, all the tax collectors and sinners, so those who were outcasted, they were lost, they were losers, they were just sentenced away. All the tax collectors and the sinners were approaching to listen to him. Who's him?
Jesus.
They all approached to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were complaining, this man welcomes sinners and also eats with them. In Jewish culture, eating with someone meant extremely intimate relationship with these people. So the Pharisees and the religious people described her saying, who is this dude? He's chilling with the sinners, and he's actually like having a relationship with them and a friendship. That doesn't make any sense. There's a tension here. It's a weight that we need to feel, and it's the fact, you guys kind of feel the weight where the Pharisees are saying, like, who is Jesus, a righteous, supposed self-righteous man, even talking with these sinners? We need to keep them shoved down to where they're supposed to be. They were so shameful that Pharisees didn't want to eat with them, but what did Jesus say to them in return? In your Bible, I know like the paperback ones that you guys were handing out don't have words in red, but whenever you see words in red, who's speaking?
Jesus,
that's right. So, Jesus, the tax collector said, who is this guy that he welcomes sinners and he eats with them? And then verse 3 says this, so Jesus told them a parable. We're going to read till the end of the chapter, which is verse 32. All right, so we have a lot of scripture to cover again tonight. And we normally start in the front, but we're going to start in the back this time, okay? So we're going to start with Marissa. And we're going to kind of snake around, then after Michelle, we'll go to Eli, and then after Cass, we'll go up to Morgan and keep going around until we're all done. So read verse 3, Marissa, and we're going to read all the way through the end of the chapter, okay? Two. Everyone read 2 verses and go to the next one. All right, let me actually pause you right there because we don't have a whole lot of time. So that's at least the part that we want to get to. All right, so if you grew up in church at all, if you grew up specifically here at Southside, you guys have probably heard these 3 parables.
PBS lesson,
dude. Look at you go. So you can teach this. So these 3 parables are probably parables that you guys have heard before, right? Have you been in church? The answer is, well, I hope so. So what are those 3 parables? What are the 3 parables that Jesus used to answer them this question? Lost sheep, lost coin, and the lost son. So when Jesus answered them this question, Jesus didn't just answer them. He told them like a story. Like, what the heck, Jesus? Like, why on earth would you tell a story? It doesn't make sense. But here's the deal, okay? Whenever Jesus tells a story, he's trying to communicate something bigger than the story, okay? Whenever Jesus tells a story, he's not just trying to tell a little feel-good story. He's actually trying to teach you something about who God is, what God does, and what's God's kingdom, and how do you fit into that kingdom. In other words, we call these parables, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's kind of the VBS definition of them. It's a story that Jesus taught that doesn't just have a meaning here, but it actually has a spiritual meaning as well. And the passage we just read, these 3 parables were all parables in lieu of one event. All 3 of these were to answer one thing, and it was the Pharisees' thought process against those who were outcasted, those who were lost. And what were these comments again that the Pharisees asked? These might be comments that you guys think about yourselves on a day-to-day basis. Here's one. How could Jesus be with these terrible, no-good people? How could Jesus stoop down to these people's levels? Why would someone who claims to be honorable and righteous be with those who are too shameful for us to even look at, let alone breathe around? The Pharisees hated, and the religious people, and just not the religious people, but the honorable people in Israel did not like the shameful people because they were unclean and we were not. And Jesus answered with these 3 stories. So here's the kind of the thought process with these 3 stories, okay? A lot of times what a lot of pastors will do is they'll talk about each individual story as its own individual story. It's supposed to stand alone all by itself. And that's not a bad thing because each story has a lot of good stuff inside of it. We're going to talk about that. But here's the deal, okay? These 3 stories were supposed to be summed up into one big thought, okay? When Jesus answered the Pharisees, who is this guy that he eats with these sinners that we don't even like, Jesus answered them these 3 stories back by back by back. And a lot of times, and in these stories, I know I'm looking at my notes a lot, but a lot of times in these stories, we know them, you know, like Jesus, like Reckless Love, you know the song where it's like he leaves the 99 and go find me. And then the lost coin, he digs the house to go find me, and the parable son or the prodigal son is me. But here's the deal. A lot of times we like to put ourselves in the story, okay? We like to go, us, me, my, I, like it's all about me. Life is all about me. The gospel is all about me. But here's the thing, okay? Parables and messages about God are never supposed to be about us, but they're actually supposed to be about God. So when we look at these parables of what Jesus is trying to talk about and what Jesus is actually trying to do, Jesus is trying to actually teach us something about God. It's kind of cool when you think about it. And we're not going to look at all of them, but we're going to look at all three of these together, okay? So each one of these stories, though, when you kind of combine them or even take them separated, they all have four different parts, okay? I want you to write these down. I don't have them on the board behind me. They all break up into four different parts, okay? Something is lost, right? The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. Every one of these lost stories that Jesus answered about the unclean outcast, something is lost. Here's the second one, okay? Yes, Eli. No, you don't know this. The second one is someone goes and gets what is lost, okay? The lost sheep, the shepherd goes and gets the one. The lost coin, the woman goes and finds the lost coin that she lost. Now, the lost son is a little different. And we'll explain why here in just a second. The third thing that all these have in common is something's lost, someone goes and gets it, and then what was lost is now found, right? Pretty basic. What was once lost is now found, and then what happens, guys, after it's founded? Founded? What after it was found? They rejoice, they celebrate, they had a party. Like, they killed the biggest thing ever and got a steak out of it. Like, they threw a party, okay? So, after the lost sheep, he went and told everyone, they celebrated. The lost coin, the woman went and told all of her friends, and they had a big old party for it. And then when the son came home, the dad had a massive party. So, this is where it gets weird, though, okay? That's kind of the crux for all those stories, but what's different between these two and the lost son? For the sheep and the coin, someone goes and finds them, but what happens in the parable of the lost son? Yeah, Nathaniel.
They repent and go back.
What's that?
They repent and go back.
So that's right. So no one went and found the son, but the son decided to go back home. It wasn't until the son realized that he was lost that he went home to be found. And here's the deal. Okay, these stories are fun in themselves, but these stories actually make a real life impact on how we should view people today and maybe how you should view yourself. So here's the question. What do you think Jesus is trying to communicate with these stories? Okay. What is Jesus trying to communicate? I'm going to tell you because we got to burn through some time. Go to the next slide, Nicole. Here's your big idea. I want you to write it down. It's a long one. God actively seeks out those who are lost, but those who are lost must realize they need to be found.
Just in case you want the short version.
God seeks, lost want to be found. When you break these stories down, we see that God is the one who goes and finds the lost. And how do we know this? Okay? It's because Jesus is telling the Pharisees why he is with the sinners. He is with the sinners. Why? Because they're lost and they need to be found. And once you understand that Jesus is in fact God in the flesh, it actually all begins to make sense. God came to earth to save those who are lost, and still today, God actively seeks those who are lost and need to be found. And here's the deal, okay? We talk about this a lot, but do you realize how amazing this actually is? Is the fact of there's something lost, and God goes and finds them, okay? When you break this parable down, we're the sheep, and God goes and finds us. We're the coin, God goes and God finds us. Every other single religion, whether it's Islam, whether it's Mormon, whether whatever religion you want to do, they all talk about you need to get back to God because there's a separation between God and man. All religions know this. There's some sort of separation. God's there, we're here, and we're completely separated. We get that because of sin. We know that. But here's the deal with religion, okay? Religion is always trying to figure out how do we go from the bottom to go find God, but what does God do for us? God came to us in Jesus, and God actively goes and seeks and finds you. Here's the deal, okay? When you got saved, when you decided to give your life to Jesus, it's because God went and found you. When you were lost, God went and found you and brought you home. If you're a follower of Jesus, you don't contribute to your salvation because it was God who went and found you. You don't need to fear or wonder if you're ever good enough because here's the deal, you're not now and you never will be. You'll never be good enough for God. And we know that. In fact, Eliot even learned this verse, Romans 5:8, where while we were sinners, we were still sinners, Christ still came and died for us. God went and found us. And this is kind of cool, isn't it, when you think about it? The fact that when we were lost, God went and found us. We didn't have to go find God because God went and found us. But here's the deal, okay? That would be the case. We would end it right there if it was only these two stories. But here's the deal. We still have to deal with the lost son, okay? Because in the story, when you read the story, what does it look like? Does it look like God went and found him or his dad went and found him? Is that what the story says? No, that's not what the story says. What happens? He had to realize that he was lost, and then he went found. It seems like, for the parable of the lost son, we as people need to realize we've messed up, and then we can go to God. Which makes sense, right? But here's the deal, okay? This is where it's really confusing in the Bible, all right? And this is where it's the same, like the same side, or sorry, same coin, two different sides, okay? On the one side of the coin, we contribute nothing to our salvation. In fact, an old Protestant preacher said, the only thing you contributed to your salvation is the sin that made you need to be saved. All right? So we contribute nothing to our salvation. But the other side of the coin is, like the prodigal son, we have to realize we're sinners. This is one of the great mysteries of the gospel. We have to realize that we're sinners. We have to realize that we've messed up. Just like the prodigal son in verse 17 and 18, he flat out said, I'm not even worthy anymore to be this guy's son. That's when he decided it was time to go home. Yeah, Nathaniel.
Is that why you say it's a mix between Arminianism and Calvinism?
And that's the struggle. So Calvinism, in case you guys were wondering, is the fact of, and there's a lot more Calvinism than it, yeah. But it's the fact of you can do nothing. It's God chose you to be saved. Whereas Arminian is you have it in you to choose God. I fall more on the Calvinistic side because if you ask me, there's nothing in me that would want to choose God because I'm a sinner and I'm separated from him. It was God opening my eyes to the fact that I needed him that caused me to go follow him. We'll explain that in a second via Dory. Don't you worry. But here's the deal. With the prodigal son in verses 17 and 18, it says that when he realized he wasn't worthy to be the father's son, that's when he decided to go home. Because here's the deal. When he discovered he wasn't worthy, he admitted that he was a sinner. When this happened, he realized that he could not get to home on his own. And that's when he found home. Here's the deal, okay? We're going to end it with this. These two conversations right here, the fact of the lost sheep and the lost coin, when God answers, when he asks, why are you hanging out with sinners? Jesus says, I came to go find my lost sheep. I came to go find my lost coin. For the lost son, I guide the way for him to come back home. It's kind of like Dory with those purple shells. Her parents lined up the shells all the way. And Dory thought she was going on the path all by herself, and she was the one discovering all the purple shells. But it wasn't until she got home that she realized that God was working the whole way through. A lot of time, that's how our salvation works. Our eyes are open. We realize we're sinners. This is how we become Christians. You guys know this. We realize we're sinners. We realize that we're separated from God. We realize we're lost. We want to be found. We want to have a home. We want God to rescue us. We want God to save us. And when we do that and we decide, yes, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to trust you with my whole life. That's when we become a follower of Jesus. And my question is, have you ever made that decision to follow after Jesus? But here's the crazy thing, okay? So when we're trying to follow after God, it just kind of happens. It lines up. We're following his path. And all of a sudden, it's like, yes, I follow God. But when you turn around, you see God working the whole time in the same way that Dory was led home. And here's the deal, okay? Yeah, we don't have a lot of time at all. We're going long. My question for you guys is, do you feel lost in the world? Okay? This is my question. Do you, like these sinners in the Jewish time, feel lost? Do you feel lost in the crowd? Do you feel lost in your faith? Do you feel lost just anywhere you go? Do you feel lost at church, at home, at school, or whatever? And my question is, A, do you know what home even is? You were designed to be in a relationship with God. That's where home is. And it's not until you realize you need to go back home is when you become found. But here's the deal, okay? This story, I know we don't have a lot of time to talk about it. Next week, we're going to talk about kind of the benefits of being found. All right, we're going to talk about the benefits of being found next week, of what happens to you once you actually become found. But it means something for us all here today, okay? If you're a Christian who's just tired and you feel weak and you don't want to go on, you're weary, you need to understand that God found you and he started a good work in your life and he won't stop working. until you die and you truly find your way back home. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, He began a good work in you, will continue to do it till the end of time. If you're tired and weary, remember God found you and He ain't going to give up on you until the end. If you're a Christian, you feel like you're wandering life, like you're kind of just going through the motions, you're not sure what's going on. Maybe you're not even living like Jesus. Just like the prodigal son, God is calling you to come back home. He went, He found you, He rescued you. He's given you a great life. He's given you a great future. He's given you a great hope. But you need to come back home. You need to get found again. Maybe you're a Christian who just sits on your butt and doesn't do anything. Let's be honest. We got a lot of them. We got a lot of them. If you're a Christian, you sit on your butt, you don't do anything. Here's the deal, okay? God didn't save you to sit on the sidelines, all right? God didn't save you to sit on the sidelines. Sure, you might not be wandering like that person. Like, at least I'm not struggling in my faith like that person over there. I know who I am in Jesus Christ. But you're sitting on your butt, you're not doing anything. The Bible says that God didn't save you to sit on your butt, but He saved you to go and do good works in Ephesians 2:8 and 9. And if you're not a believer, if you've never followed Jesus and you never had a time where you say, yes, I need to have Jesus in my life to forgive me my sins, God is calling you home. And maybe it's time for you to go from lost to found. Because we all have a home. But the question is, A, do we know where the home is? B, are we staying at home? And C, do you need to find your way back home? That's the question. And God made a way for you. He sought after you. He called you His own. And you made the choice to follow Him. It's a weird mystery, but that's what He did for you. So at this time, we're going to pray, and we're going to sing a couple songs, kind of in response from it. We'll do the whole set list, Eli. We'll do the whole set list still. But here's the deal. Okay, close your eyes, bow your heads real quick. Close your eyes, bow your heads. Leave along on the videos and the games and all that kind of fun stuff. But here's my question for you, okay? Close your eyes. Listen up. A band, you guys can come up and get situated right now if you'd like. But here's my question I have for you guys. My first question is, do you feel lost in this world? Do you feel like you're not sure what's going on or where to go or where hope is found? Your answer is yeah. Well, the answer is Jesus. Jesus is the answer to that hope. If you've never given your life to Christ, you're always going to be lost. But for those of us who are Christians, it's still really easy to feel lost in this world, isn't it? It's very easy to feel lost. God says that He started a good work in you, and He's going to complete it. He's going to finish it. He's going to go all the way through. But my question for you is, will you let Him?
This is Mark Hyde, the pastor here at Southside Student Ministry. Just wanted to say thank you so much for tuning in and listening to this podcast. If it's been encouraging to you in any way, shape, or form, we would encourage you just to rate us. Leave us a 5-star review if you can. It actually helps other students see us when they go looking for podcasts to know that we're just not a load of crap and that they can actually trust us with the content we're kicking out. We will see you all next time here on Southside Student Ministries Podcast.